Hey everybody, Marcus here. On August 6th, the channel of Mayor of MGTOWN was taken down by YouTube. Since then, the mayor has started a new channel to continue the great work he has been doing for almost 2 years now. The mayor is a pillar of our community and is running an outreach project to help homeless men. In addition, he has done a great deal to bring attention to new channels, including my own. As such, we must take the initiative to rehydrate his subscriber count, as he had over 7,000 subs before his channel was taken down. It is important for us as a community to send a message to those who would see MGTOW brought down. We must send the message that if you take one of us down, you are wasting your time, as MGTOW will rally to bring them back up. I am linking to the mayor's new channel in the description box, and I implore you to go subscribe if you have been a subscriber before. If you have never heard of the mayor of MGTOWN before, then I encourage you to check him out, as his work is not only excellent, but his character is beyond reproach. To all content producers, I also encourage you to promote the mayor's new channel in his time of need, as tomorrow, it may be your time of need. I, for one, am honored to be in the same community as the mayor and will do my part. At this point, the real answer to the question, how one becomes what one is, can no longer be avoided. And thus I touch on the masterpiece of the art of self-preservation, of selfishness. For let us assume that the task, the destiny, the fate of the task transcends the average, but very significantly, in that case, nothing could be more dangerous than catching sight of oneself with this task. To become what one is, one must not have the faintest notion of what one is. From this point of view, when the blunders of life have their own meaning and value, the occasional side roads and wrong roads, the delays, modesties, seriousness wasted on tasks that are remote from the task, all this can express a great prudence, even the supreme prudence, where nosce te ipsum, know thyself, would be the recipe for ruin, forgetting oneself, misunderstanding oneself, making oneself smaller, narrower, mediocre, even become reason itself. Morally speaking, neighbor love, living for others and other things can be a protective measure for preserving the hardened self-concern. This is the exception where, against my want and conviction, I side with the selfless drives. Here they work in the service of self-love, of self-discipline. The whole surface of consciousness is a surface, must be kept clear of all great imperatives. Beware even of every great word, every great pose. So many dangers that the instinct comes too soon to understand itself. Meanwhile, the organizing idea that is destined to rule keeps growing deep down. It begins to command. Slowly, it leads us back from side roads and wrong roads. It prepares single qualities and fitnesses that will one day prove to be indispensable as means towards a whole. One by one, it trains all subservient capacities before giving any hint of the dominant task, goal, aim, or meaning. Considered in this way, my life is simply wonderful. For the task of a reevaluation of all values, more capacities may have been needed than have ever dwelt together in a single individual. Above all, even contrary capacities that had to be kept from disturbing, destroying one another, an order of rank amongst these capacities, distance, the art of separating without setting against one another, to mix nothing, to reconcile nothing, a tremendous variety that is nonetheless the opposite of chaos. This was the precondition, the long, secret work and artistry of my instinct. Its higher protection manifested itself to such a high degree that I never even suspected what was growing in me. And one day, all my capacities, suddenly ripe, leapt forth in their ultimate perfection. I cannot remember that I ever tried hard. No trace of struggle can be demonstrated in my life. I am the opposite of a heroic nature, willing something, striving for something, envisaging a purpose, a wish. I know none of this from experience. At this very moment, I still look upon my future, an ample future, and as upon calm seas, there is no ripple of desire. I do not want in the least that anything should become different than it is. I myself do not want to become different. That was a reading of Aphorism 9 from Nietzsche's book entitled Ecce Homo. The specific chapter is entitled Why I Am So Clever. In this telling and powerful aphorism, Nietzsche describes his becoming who he is. Now, it may sound like a strange statement when you first hear it, become who you are, but the strangeness soon evaporates upon closer scrutiny. Nietzsche, in this aphorism, touches on a theme that is recurring in his works, amor fati, the love of fate. He believes that in order for each of us to be happy, we must first come to not only accept the hand we are dealt in life, but come to love it. Of course, this does not speak to our situation in life. For example, Nietzsche is not suggesting that if you happen to be born in poverty, that you should accept this fact and dance with joy over it. No, not at all. Nietzsche wants us to come to love ourselves, our strengths, and our weaknesses. So in this way, a short man must come to love his shortness, regardless of it having a disadvantage, here or there. And in his shortness, he must come to love the fact that he will never be a professional basketball player. The same must also hold true of the opposite qualities. If that short man happens to be great at abstract thought, he must come to love this about himself and love the fact that it can help him be a scientist, mathematician, or a philosopher. Nietzsche invites us to discover what we are and not attempt to invent ourselves. We are not to ask the question, what do I want to be when I grow up? As in this question, we have already invented the I. There is no I. There is no doer behind the deed. There's only the deed. And in this way, the question becomes, what deed is it that will constitute me? What deed will give the word I meaning? When taken this way, Nietzsche is giving us a roadmap to answering the question of purpose in one's life. Our purpose becomes our identity. Our purpose becomes that which informs and shapes every decision we make and gives us the direction towards which those decisions aim. However, this view should not be confused with some sort of find your passion message. No, we are not meant to look towards desire as some sort of dowsing rod. This would be backwards. Passion follows purpose. Purpose does not follow passion. Remember, love of fate. You are to love your purpose after it presents itself to you. But how will this purpose present itself? Well, Nietzsche explains this when he says, "The organizing idea that is destined to rule keeps growing deep down. It begins to command. Slowly, it leads us back from side roads and wrong roads. It prepares single qualities and fitnesses that will one day prove to be indispensable as means towards a whole. One by one, it trains all subservient capacities before giving any hint of the dominant task, goal, aim, or meaning." The idea destined to rule is Nietzsche's way of describing your subconscious cataloging all your experiences and slowly bubbling into your conscious mind the task it has set out for you. Nietzsche anticipates Freud as to the notion of the subconscious when he says, "The whole surface of consciousness is a surface, must be kept clear of all great imperatives." Now, this is a very powerful statement, as it suggests that we need to abandon the prejudice of choosing our purpose. Our purpose is chosen for us by our subconscious, and this purpose will present itself when it has trained us to the level at which we need to be in order to not only recognize it, but also be able to execute it. Nietzsche writes, "I never even suspected what was growing in me, and one day all my capacities, suddenly ripe, leapt forth in their ultimate perfection." The task that presented itself to Nietzsche was the transvaluation of all values. Nietzsche wrote these words at the age of 44 and died at the age of 55. I suspect he found this purpose close to the age he was at when he wrote this aphorism. The reason I suspect this is because it was only in his last year of sanity that he started writing works as part of his project to transvaluate all values. Sadly, Nietzsche's last 10 years of life were spent as a madman. This would mean that Nietzsche only found his purpose in life 1 year before he went mad. Now, this notion of our subconscious presenting our purpose to us is all well and good, but does this mean we simply need to sit on the couch waiting until that happens? Well, clearly the answer is no. We need to take action and make decisions based on the information and instincts we currently have. We do this to allow for opportunities of our subconscious to nudge our decisions down roads that will inevitably lead to dead ends individually. But as a set of dead ends, develop in us the unique skills we need to tackle the purpose we are meant for. For example, I know that the career I am in right now is a dead end, but though that may be the case, the skills I develop while pursuing this dead end will surely play a role in what I am truly meant for. What that is right now, I don't yet know. The same case will be true with each of you as well. The key is not to consider any given dead end as a waste of time, but as training that must happen in order to lead you to where you are meant to go. When you combine that insight that Nietzsche has presented in this aphorism with Aristotle's view of the good life being the contemplative life, you come to see that purpose in life only becomes a thing accessible to those who have earned it through living in alignment with human nature, namely, to satiate the desire to know. If this is the case, then purpose itself becomes a form of knowledge, an absence of purpose in life, a sign of ignorance, and the mechanism of the mind trying to coerce you towards change. Purposelessness then becomes a pain of the soul, a warning that you are doing something wrong, much like physical pain is a sign that you have done something to cause injury. But if this is true, then the search for knowledge is the same as the search for purpose, and it would follow that purpose will reveal itself through seeking knowledge. Thanks for listening. Go team.